Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to you wherever you are throughout the length and breadth of Grenada, Carrick, Pitimore, the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you. And inside the studio today, I have Mr. Timothy Antoine, prominent secretary and within the Ministry of Finance. As you know, he has been with us here many times and continue to be. And we have a lot of information to talk about. A lot is happening. The budget, that's a big thing, hot ticket, and planning of Grenada. What is happening throughout the country? We take a word from our sponsors. I come back and begin my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antoine, Inside Finance. All our listeners and supporters of the SGBC radio programs, you can now download the SGBC app on your Android phone. Go to the Play Store and get involved. Listen to some great music, great preaching, sermonette, testimonies. Great thing is happening at the SGBC Grenada.com, and the app is available to you. Go download it from the Play Store to your Android phone. SGBC. It is available to you, an app that you can use wherever you are. Music will be available to you wherever you are now. You do not have to wonder, where is the radio? Download it on your Android phone and carry it with you wherever you go. The SGBC app is available to you in the Play Store. Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine. Welcome, Mr. Timothy.
Well, good afternoon to you. Good day to you, Pastor Simon, and in fact, good day to all of you at home and abroad.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. The usual.
Working within the public service is never an easy task.
Never a dull moment, but we're doing it for Grenada.
Yes. I also must say that, you know, I was in New York, and the people there are very appreciative of the program Inside Finance, because you keep them up to date what really is happening with the government and what is happening in Grenada, and they're very, very appreciative of it.
Well, that's great feedback, and that's exactly what we essayed to do when we started the program in partnership with you, just to keep the nation informed. And to really shed a light, shine a light, as it were, on the many, many things that we're doing in the Ministry of Finance, which, of course, is a central ministry in the government service. But to give the nation an inside track about what is happening and to break it down, as I like to say, keep it simple, make it simple, make it plain, make it clear. So I'm really pleased to hear that the guys in New York are enjoying the program.
And that leads me to, I think, one of the central questions, and many persons are asking, the plan of 2030, the national plan. Could you give us what is the status of that plan? Where are we? Because a couple of months ago it started, the launch. Where are we with that?
A lot has happened. So you would recall the process for preparing National Plan 2030 was launched at the end of May of this year. Prime Minister Mitchell addressed the gathering, and we had quite a good turnout on that particular day, 27th of May 2015. Since that time, the steering committee, which was introduced at that time, has met every month since then. And in fact, on last Friday, the 25th of September, we had our fifth joint meeting of the steering committee and technical working group. So we've been very active. So what have we been doing? First of all, the name of the plan was decided upon, and it is now going to be called National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. Why? Because we recognize the need to ensure that sustainability, matters of the environment, protecting our heritage, our culture, are very much a part of the plan, but also very cognizant of the international community and the obligations there, the developments there. In fact, only last week, there was a global summit on the Sustainable Development Goals at the United Nations in New York, where the heads of state, heads of government agreed on 17 goals and quite a lot of targets, I think 160-something, if I recall, to actually try to achieve by 2030. So Grenada obviously is part of the international community, and we need to also be paying attention to that. So we decided on a name, National Sustainable Development Plan 2030. We decided on a chairman, and in fact it was agreed that a non-politician should chair, so I have been asked to chair as a public servant. So I have now been, I've assumed the chairmanship of the steering committee. We decided on a deputy chairman, and in the person of Mr. William Joseph, who represents the Conference of Churches in Grenada. So Mr. Joseph, who is a retired permanent secretary and well known, he is now the deputy chairman. We have set up a secretariat in the GCNA building on the Lagoon Road. It is headed by a senior public servant, Rafael Joseph, who is former ambassador to Cuba. And we now have additional staff in there to assist. We are right now working on a website and a number of social media platforms. And we have really been going at it. So, and in the last few sessions, we've been focusing on the vision statement. What do we want? What do we want to propose to the nation as a vision for the national plan? So we now have a draft vision, and very soon we're going to share with the nation our draft vision for the national plan. During the course of the last week, we've actually started some public outreach, appearing on various media outlets to just update the nation on where we are with the plan. I want to say at the outset that this plan is not a Government of Grenada plan. This is a national plan. And that is why the steering committee is broad and also includes political parties. Both the
So who are the people who are involved?
The steering committee. So the chairmanship, well, yours truly, the deputy chairman, William Joseph, who represents the Conference of Churches in Grenada. Andrea Lewis represents the Trade Union Council. Sister Joan Purser represents civil society. Pettifer Lewis Smith represents the private sector. You have Reverend John Lewis, who represents the Alliance of Evangelical Churches. You have Dr. Dunstan Campbell, who represents agriculture. Mr. Judd Cadet, who represents youth. And then you have the political parties. And you have Mr. Vincent Roberts, National Democratic Congress. Mr. Carlton Frederick, New National Party. And Mr. Ferron Lowe, National United Front. That should give us 11. So it's broad-based, and it's really inclusive of all the sectors, you know, across the society. So that I think we have a very, very good team. And I must say, very committed team, because these men and women have, in fact, been coming to the meetings, been very involved in the discussions, and I feel very encouraged. In addition to that, we have a technical working group, which is to help write the plan. So the steering committee steers the plan and will ultimately approve the plan. The plan will be approved by the steering committee and then sent to cabinet through the Minister of Economic Development, and who will then take it on to Parliament. But the technical working group would help with actual writing, drafting of the chapters. Mm-hmm. The technical working group is chaired by Dr. Clement Jackson, who's in the Ministry of Finance. You have Mr. Michael Batiste, macroeconomic advisor. There is Dr. Patrick Antwine. There's Dr. Linus Spencer Thomas. There is also Mr. Fitzroy James. And then we added Mrs. Pauline Finley. And then we've also added a few people, three other people, John Telesford, Lyndon Glasgow, and Dr. Nicole Philip Dow. So we have a really good mix of Grenadians, talented, qualified, committed patriots, and that's the team. And of course, as we go, we'll be involving a lot of people, because this is going to require us to be in the communities, engaging people, home and abroad, and it will be very broad-based. So we've just set up ourselves to really be able to engage with the nation on this very, very important exercise. And I must say, as I said before, this is about our nation, about our future, and especially about our youth. So it's extremely important that everybody gets involved and have your say to shape the country. And when you think of the vision, think about what this country could be and should be. Just focus on that. What should Grenada, what could Grenada be, and what should it be? And if you think about that, then ideas begin to flow about what we want to see for our country.
One may be thinking, I'm sitting there thinking, how will you get the political parties involved in this process?
That's a very, very good question, and one we've considered very deliberately, because we believe the ultimate success of the plan is first of all in its design, its preparation. It has to be all-inclusive, but then it has to be implemented by the government of the day, and the government of the day has to be held accountable by the people. So what we've done this time is to involve the main political parties from the start to avoid a situation where the government changes, new administration, and they start over with their own plan. We've had plans before in Grenada. We had one in 2007. Then in 2008, the government changed. The new administration in 2011 started revising that plan. And then, of course, there was a change of government in 2013. So what you want to avoid is this start and stop, because that holds us back. That slows down our development. It retards our progress. And when you look at the countries, some of the countries which have been very successful around the world, you look at Singapore or Mauritius, and some of the others, one of the things that is very obvious is that they stuck to a long-term vision and plan. And regardless of who was in government, that plan was prosecuted, was pursued, it was implemented, and the country moved forward a lot faster. So what are the benefits of this plan? I'm going to come back to the political parties. But what are the benefits of the plan? We believe it will help with clear direction for the country. We believe it will help with faster development, higher employment, a more united country, a more prepared citizen for the global world and the new world in which we live. And a more spiritual nation, because spirituality is important. So the way we intend to involve the parties is to have them involved from the start. So they're part of the steering committee. But in addition to that, we have engaged the political parties, we mean in the steering committee, on a protocol to guide the conduct during the preparation of the national plan. What we want to avoid, Pastor Simon, is a situation where every time we have a discussion, the colors of yellow and green and whatever else comes out, and people start to think party rather than think country. We want people to have a space where they are free to come and discuss their plans, their desires, their aspirations, their needs, without worrying about any political label. And we want them to have that freedom to speak. From time to time, you may be a member of a party, your position and what you want may be different from what your party wants, and you may feel constrained in a consultation to toe the party line. We want to take the parties out of that and let the citizens of the country feel free to speak. So, how do we intend to involve the parties? The political parties will be able to write directly to the steering committee and put their ideas, put their views forward directly to the steering committee. And they can come and they can speak to us as often as they like. So they will have a chance directly to have their say in the process. But when we get to the consultation in the communities, no political party is going to be standing up and making statements and making comments. We want the citizens to do that, free of any kind of political labeling and posturing, because we believe that is the best chance of getting all the views of the nation and then putting them together in a manner that everybody can agree. This is our plan. This is the people's plan, which the parties, all the parties, can then basically look to and embrace. And very importantly, when it comes to the next general election, we would expect, and we fully expect the people to insist that the parties, in crafting the manifesto, give due cognizance to the national plan. So you can't just go and make up something that is without any reference to the plan. You must look at the plan and you must draw on the plan, acknowledge and of course give the plan credit, but acknowledge that this is coming from the national, and here is how you plan to implement, when, and the resources and so on. And then people will judge the credibility, the capacity to implement, the resources, the wherewithal to actually implement, those sorts of things, rather than, you know, everybody's competing against, in almost to out-promise each other without a reference to the reality and the credibility of the undertakings. We believe that will make for a much more informed nation, and will ultimately, whoever comes into office, will have a plan to work with. That is the people's plan. And ultimately, the people will have to keep the political party, whoever happens to be in government, accountable for implementation. So that is very different from how we've gone about this planning in the past. And we believe this is going to be an important success factor.
Okay. I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Entwined. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. And as you heard, the national plan was the first part of that this discussion. Come back, I want to talk to him especially about the national budget 2016. That is already in preparation. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back and continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Entwined, Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance.
If you're thinking about building, if you're thinking about fixing, if you're thinking about building, fixing, and maintaining, then the place to go is one called Construction Limited, boy. Because they specialize in construction, roofing, maintenance, general repairs, all them kind of thing. You could even get columns and balusters for your house. One call is people who know what they're doing, boy. They're quick, efficient, professional, and reasonable. They just even rent construction equipment, including Bobcat. And they just do plenty property management too. So if you're thinking of going somewhere else, think again. Call One Call Construction Limited, 443-2894. One call, that's all it takes.
Welcome back, folks. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. Very interesting as we look at our national plan and where we are. So, coming to focus now is the national budget 2016 that is in progress. Where are we? What is happening with that? And could you inform us of what is going on within that, the plan for the budget 2016?
Very much involved in the preparation of the budget. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance has already announced that he is going to be presenting the budget in November. The date that he has in mind is November 25th. In keeping with his commitment to present the budget before the beginning of the new fiscal year, which is January of every year. Right now, we have ministries and departments making their submissions, their requests. We've received from most of the ministries now, and there have been consultations with the budget division on these submissions. So we've received submissions from the various ministries, and we're now reviewing those submissions. In addition, we've also commenced what we call the sectoral or stakeholder consultation. So last week we met with the trade unions, then the private sector, and followed by civil society and the churches. This week coming up on Tuesday, we're going to meet with the farmers and fisher folk. That meeting will be in Grenville, Baines Hall to be exact, from 2:00 in the afternoon. I think we're making some arrangements for transportation, at least for some of the farmers to be able to get there and have their voices heard. So that's Tuesday, Baines Hall, 2 p.m.
That is this Tuesday.
This Tuesday, so that's September 29th. And that is going to be for farmers and fisher folk to come, and the people from the agriculture community to come and share their views on the budget. On Thursday, we're in Karaku. A team from the ministry will be in Karaku. And I believe that consultation will start at 6 p.m. at Hillsborough Government School. And again, we want to hear from the people of Karaku and PD Martinique on their budget. So we're moving along, and time is ticking by very quickly, and we're working to meet our timelines, which is for presentation in November.
Okay. There is a lot have to be done. So you're saying that the consultation with the different department is now in progress?
Yes, most of the ministries have already made their submissions. So we do internal inside government, and then we do outside government.
So now you're doing outside government?
Yes, outside government.
Okay. What legislation are we working on now for the homegrown program, which we have started, just about 2 years ago?
Yes, so it's almost 2 years, and the program has been going well, as I think the nation knows. What we're working now are the following. We're working on the electric supply law. We sent out a revised draft last week following consultation. So this is going to be the third round of consultation on the electric supply law, the draft. And then we're going to be issuing some regulations very soon that go with the law. And that's very important because we understand the criticality of the electricity sector to our development and the need for reforms to make the costs more stable, to bring down costs, but also to ensure we have renewables in our mix. We're also working on a tax administration bill, which we've also circulated for comment, as part of building a modern tax service. Specifically in Inland Revenue, we have to do a number of things there where we strengthen the legal framework for Inland Revenue. So this is just how it will organize itself, which is very important. A modern tax service needs modern legal framework, and that is what we're providing there. So it's not additional taxes, it's just the whole Inland Revenue deals with taxpayers, how taxpayers deals with Inland Revenue, and making sure it's more efficient, it's more customer friendly, it's more professional, it's faster, and generally it's more it could do better. And of course, Inland Revenue being now the largest revenue collecting agency of government, it's very important that we do that. In addition to that, we're working on we're doing a couple of things with the tax incentives. We've recently made a decision on the annual stamp tax to make an amendment based on some calls we had from the private sector. So an amendment is being worked on for that. But those are some of the key things that we're working on now, which we want to introduce in Parliament in October, after Parliament comes back from the recess, the prorogation. So that's what's we're working on now.
Okay. I know you've been working on the labor force survey. What can you tell us about that and update us of where we are?
So the labor force survey started last week, last Tuesday, I believe it was, and it will be for the next month. The statistical office, Central Statistical Office, will be out in the communities doing a survey. They'll probably do about 1,365 households. And this survey is being done in collaboration with the OECS Commission and the International Labour Organization. So the right standards are being followed. We've done these surveys for the last couple of years, 13 and 14, and now we're doing one in this year, 2015. What do we expect? The main outputs from the survey is to give us an up-to-date on the unemployment situation or the employment situation. So we'll get an unemployment rate. We also will get a poverty rate. So those are the two main things. There's some other things we'll get, like participation rates and so on. But the key outputs from a survey is unemployment and poverty. And those are very important for government to be able to plan and design programs to address unemployment, which is obviously a big issue in Grenada, and also to address the issue of reducing poverty.
Mm. With that, there is another big issue when come to pension for public servants. I've known in the past week, I've heard two persons talk about. One person said, I've worked with government for 20 years and I'm going home and I ain't getting nothing. After I work for all these years in government, could you talk to us a little bit about what is government doing about pension for public servants?
The issue of pension is a very huge and complex issue, but it is one that the government is committed to addressing in collaboration and partnership with our trade unions. And we are going to be speaking more and more to our unions about our thinking and, of course, hear their thoughts on how we could resolve this issue. We're going to be working directly with our trade union partners on this issue of pension and pension reform in the government. I want to, however, say that first thing first, the government of Grenada will soon be settling the Humlin Armstrong Cox claim. This is a judgment that was handed down by the courts some time ago. And the government is keen to ensure that we address that claim. So I can confirm to you that efforts are being made to satisfy that claim for Mrs. Armstrong Cox. Thereafter, we're going to be engaged with our union partners about how we proceed with several very key reforms which will help us to address the issue of pension, because the government is of the view that we do need to make sure that public officers are catered for in respect of pension. We have a very challenging situation at the moment where many officers are disqualified based on the 1983 law. Of course, that has been challenged legally in the court system by the unions. And I think we all accept that we have to find a better way forward. And the unions are also mindful that of the financial constraints of the government, and it is finding a formula that will help us to proceed in a way that's equitable, manageable, fiscally responsible, but also addresses the needs and legitimate expectations of workers. I must tell you, as a senior manager, this has been a challenge for me for many years in terms of trying to recruit people, because the absence of a pension has hurt our ability to attract and retain talent. And the most talented people you have in the public service are really just committed. They've just decided that they've committed to Grenada and to the cause, because the situation is not very attractive, to be quite honest, for them. And I salute those of them. Many of them are in my own ministry, and includes people like myself, who came, you know, after a certain time, after April 83, who have been very committed, notwithstanding the situation with pensions. So, in sum, we will be paying the Hamlin Armstrong Cox judgment very soon, and we will be engaging the unions on a very concrete basis to proceed to address this issue, which has been so long-standing and which is so important to so many of our public servants and indeed to our nation.
So Ms. Cox could rest assured that she would be settled?
Yes.
Okay. We're quite a lot out of time. Is there anything you want to share with us just before we conclude this time?
Get on board with the national plan. It's our plan. It's our future. It's our country. Get on board. We need to hear from everybody on this. And I really look forward to engaging with everybody for what is our national plan. And that's basically my key message. Other than that, to just salute my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance in particular for all the hard work that they continue to do, they continue to serve, and I'm very grateful and honored to be able to work with them in that capacity as PS.
Special thanks to Mr. Timothy Entwine, Permanent Secretary within the Ministry of Finance. I am Stanford Simon. It's been a joy spending this time with him. Special thanks to the Prime Minister and the opportunity he has given to me to serve in this way and to be able to interview persons from within the Ministry of Finance to learn what is happening in the nation, as we would say, finding out the nation business. For those of you who would love to listen to this program again, go to our website, sgbcgrenada.com, under the heading Encounter Interview. The program is uploaded there. It's quite good to learn what they are doing about the pension for public servants. That is crucial. The national plan, where we are with that, budget 2016, and understanding the legislation that are there working on the homegrown program. All of this he spoke about, and I think it's critical that we collectively work together with the government, with the committee, to ensure that collectively we put a national plan together that can take us into the 21st century. You cannot do it alone, the government cannot do it alone, but collectively we can make a big difference. I think it is just important that we work together to make that happen. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and really enjoyable week. Join us here next week at the same time, where we do this all over again. Don't forget, go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com, under the heading Encounter Interview. This program is uploaded there. You can target and let others have an opportunity to listen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.